President Bush on a surprise Thanksgiving Day trip to Baghdad. Mr. Bush was speaking to 600 soldiers from the 1st Armored Division and the 82nd Airborne who were not expecting to see the Commander-in-Chief that day or probably any day. The President spent about 2 hours at the Baghdad airport. He served food to the soldiers and thanked them on behalf of the United States for being in Baghdad. Dan Shore joins us now. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Scott.
And taking this trip to Baghdad was risky for Mr. Bush. Certainly his own security and conceivably even the security of soldiers had he been attacked by insurgent forces. Was the gain of the visit worth that risk?
Well, I'll tell you, risky it is. A story in the New York Times this morning indicating that the insurrectionists are now beginning to track American officials, apparently getting organized enough to be able to do that. But you have to believe them when they say that they worked on this for 6 weeks and they decided that there would be little risk, even though they were landing the president in a darkened plane, which had to make maneuvers to avoid any possible missile and then keep him at the airport, which is very well protected. And if they say little risk, I have no way of judging if there was any more risk. To have taken a risk with the president obviously would have been irresponsible. But they got it. They took it. They say there wasn't any. There wasn't any sign that he was in any danger. If you look back on it, certainly a morale booster for an army that lost more soldiers in November than any month so far in the war. That's 437 since the war started in March. And I guess I'll have to add it was certainly worth it to Mr. Bush as a piece of, mm-hmm. of political theater.
What about the idea that it was an acceptable risk for the commander-in-chief to demonstrate his regard for the young men and women that are being put in harm's way on his specific order and that an acceptable risk to demonstrate the determination of American policy in Iraq?
Well, I think that was right. It certainly demonstrated it to the troops. It certainly had to be. You could see from the pictures that it was a great morale raiser for them. And then I suppose the president has been sensitive to criticism that he has not been spending time with troops or even going to many of the funerals. And I suppose, you know, if they wanted to lose sight of all of that and look for something very big and important, this did it. I mean, it clearly accomplished its purpose.
At the same time, the administration's plan for transferring power in Iraq seemed to hit a snag this week. The Grand Ayatollah Ali Sistani expressed disapproval of those plans to get an Iraqi constitution mm-hmm. written. He wants the new constitution authors to be elected and not appointed by Americans, which would conceivably open it to a Shiite majority. Do you think this means the administration has to change its timetable or its approach to changing power in Iraq again?
Well, they only just recently changed it once to speed up the whole process and not wait for a constitution. Mm-hmm. And apparently now the revised process doesn't go very well with the Shiites, who are, after all, 60% of Iraq's population. And they've made clear that, no, they're not going to have the governing council, which is headed by a Kurd. The Grand Ayatollah Husseini al-Sistani, who speaks for the Shiites, say that they want to have an Islamic Republic. And it's a total irony to think that after the United States has gone to this extent to try to liberate Iraq, is it going to be in order to have another Islamic Republic?
Let's look. Now, if we can, at some issues in Congress, the administration's leadership. President Bush won a major victory in Congress this week with the passage of the Medicare bill. That's a historic overhaul of the Medicare system.
Yes.
At the same time, the Republican leadership did not get their energy bill through the Senate.
Right.
How important is the passage of this Medicare bill to President Bush?
Well, you know, the energy bill was tied up in the filibuster, but clearly Medicare was the big one. That is the one which could have an effect on the election. The Democrats say this, they're now boosting the deficit to a horrendous $500 billion. The Democrats say that it will help the elderly poor a lot less than it's going to help the main health providers and insurance companies and the pharmaceutical people. The fact of the matter is that the way this thing is constructed, we really won't know between now and the election whether the bill is good or bad or terrible, because most of the main features of the bill don't go into effect until 2006. So what happens is that the president says, I did it for you. I've gotten I've gotten prescription drugs for the elderly just as I promised. He might say it's just like I promised. And we won't know for sure what it does.
Let me turn to events in the Middle East. Israeli Prime Minister Sharon is facing increased disapproval from several quarters over the security fence that Israel's building in the West Bank. Just today, Palestinian Prime Minister says that he will end negotiations if construction on the fence doesn't end. On Wednesday, maybe more notably, the U.S. said it was going to cut almost $300 million from a loan guarantee package to Israel because of that fence.
Yeah, well, cutting a loan guarantee, as President Bush's father also found, is one of the few ways you have for applying pressure on Israel. And in this case, it's an issue on which the Secretary General, Anan Kofi, United Nations, says that this fence, which does take away some Palestinian land, he calls it deeply counterproductive. It contradicts the so-called roadmap plan. In that sense, is a step backward. But very interestingly, Prime Minister Ariel Sharon says at a press conference that Israel will be forced to make territorial concessions as part of a future peace effort, warning that time is running out for a negotiated settlement. And so Sharon is trying to give the impression that the fence is simply another bargaining chip in negotiations and that this obstacle can be overcome.
Wednesday, the International Atomic Energy Agency officially condemned Iran's 18-year cover-up of the nuclear research it's been conducting. But the agency stopped short of reporting Iran to the UN Security Council for possible sanctions. Now, the U.S. had originally demanded sanctions.
Yes, sir.
But it's now, this week, joined the agency's decision not to impose them. How do you assess that change in position?
Oh, well, that's really quite fascinating. Here's the United States, which is pretty well tied down in Iraq and doesn't have a lot of forces available for any new move against the axis of evil. And the administration is doing some rethinking on whether it wants to do anything about Iran or about North Korea, considering that we don't have a lot of troops for another attack on the axis of evil. So the administration does what the U.S. administration has hardly ever done recently, is listen to the arguments from the Europeans and said we accept the European position, basically. Mm-hmm. And that position is we'll reprimand them, we'll tell them they got to be really inspected from now on, but sanctions, well, let's not talk about that.
Mm-hmm. But there are hundreds of thousands of U.S. troops in Iraq. That must be a way of demonstrating something to Iran about the seriousness of the administration.
Yeah, but on the other hand, it demonstrates to the whole world that we don't have a lot of troops left for another such foray.
Let's ask about the U.S. economy. Grew even faster than the strong first estimates in the third quarter. Indexes show consumer confidence is up. Jobless claims hit a three-year low. Is this good news politically for the administration, or is it coming too early?
Well, obviously it's good news for the administration, since the incumbent always gets blamed or praised for whatever the economy is at any point. And it clearly has been a big spurt in the third quarter of this year, and everybody kind of agrees on that. Corporate profits are up, investment is up, 8.2% growth altogether. Analysts speak of recovery with more confidence than before, but yet that devil job creation lags behind all the other indicators, and employers appear to be using productivity rather than hiring to deal with the situation today.
Thanks very much, Dan Shore.